Old Testament lesson today is from Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Listen to me, you islands, and hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be a servant and to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. The Lord says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, fill our hearts and our minds with a sense of your presence, your peace, and your joy. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, I don't know if you're into making New Year's resolutions. I'm not. But what are you looking for in 2020? What are you hoping for? Are you looking forward to better health, better finances, better relationships, maybe some peace in your heart? And what about purpose? Are you looking for any new or renewed purpose in life? What about when it comes to just getting out of bed in the morning? What are you looking for as a reason to do that? Or as a reason to come to church, to worship? What reason do you have to pray, to read the Bible, to share your faith? What are you looking for in this new year, in this new decade? And if you could make a wish, what would it be? Our passage today, our Isaiah passage, was written to a whole people who wanted to just wish away their circumstances. 2 Isaiah wrote these words to exiles in Babylon. These were people that had been forcibly taken from their homeland in Jerusalem, forced to live in Babylon. And the people listening to these words thought, "It's all over. We'll never get to go back home. This strange place with a strange language and a different culture, this is our home now." And here comes the prophet Isaiah, bringing God's word of hope, this strange word of hope, because it's about being restored to their homeland. Isaiah says God is calling them to help restore the people of Israel and bring back the people of Jacob. Why? Isaiah says it's because they were called even before they were born. They have this special purpose. Isaiah says, "You're chosen, loved, honored, and you're my servants." In other words, God is saying in this passage, "I have a purpose for you. You will be restored, and there's more." God says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant and restore the tribes of Jacob and the people of Israel. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, so that my salvation will go out to the ends of the earth." Think about that for a minute. God is saying that all those people have a purpose well beyond restoration. They will be a light for the Gentiles. What does that have to do with us here today in 2020? Well, what if these are still God's words to us, especially right now, right here in 2020? What if we share a similar context to the people who first heard these words? I mean, aren't we in some ways like exiles? We are Christians who follow Jesus in a world where that is less and less common. And think about who we are, this church, as a body of Christ. We are people who care deeply about others being welcomed and included accepted and invited in a culture where that is not the norm either. And we too have been called before birth with a purpose. Psalm 139 says it this way: "You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We each have been made by God and given a purpose in this life. So what if God is saying to us, to each one of us here in 2020, "I have a purpose for you." One of those purposes is to restore you. Restore your heart, your soul, your life. And then I have something even more. I want to make you a light. I want to make you a light in the world. What if when we ask ourselves, "What am I looking for in 2020? We also ask, "What is God looking for in our lives in 2020? Is my vision too small? Does God have something bigger and better in mind for me this year?" Rick Warren, in his famous book that we studied many years ago, The Purpose-Driven Life, starts his book by saying this: "It's not about you." What does he mean? He means that we have a purpose in this life, and it's not just about us. We've been chosen, formed, called by God even before birth. We've been given these gifts and talents that each of us have, the things that make us who we are. And those things are not just for us. In fact, they're not just for our friends and family, not even just for our church. They are for the whole world. Think about that in your life, in your heart, in your life. What if we all stop to think about how we're made? What gifts and talents do you have? What blessings have you received? And then what if we ask God, "Okay, what is this for? How can I live out my purpose? How can I be a light in the world? I'm just one person." Our worship service has started emphasizing this, just like we were talking with the kids today. Each worship service, we welcome the light of Christ in because we believe that Jesus is the light of the world. That Jesus is the one, when we come into this place, he illumines our hearts and lives. He gives us that peace, that joy, that excitement. And then when we leave this place, we take that light out, right? We are bearers of the light. Jesus preaches about this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:14 when he says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they will see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven." That is our purpose in life, to be a light like that, each of us in our own unique way. Some people talk about this being a light as evangelism. Now, in Presbyterian churches, sometimes that has a very negative connotation, right? Haven't we all seen a street preacher or a pushy person on the airplane or someone who's just really outspoken friend or family member asking us again and again, "Are you saved? Are you saved? If you die tonight, do you know where you're going?" Many of us hear that word evangelism and we think of these scare tactics, these negative, pushy things that are about scaring us away from hell and into heaven. But the meaning of evangelism in the Gospels from Jesus himself is very different and very simple. Evangelism is just sharing good news. Good news. Not scary news, not fear, not guilt trips, but good news. It's why I like to sum up my sermon with good news, because I believe that's why we're here. We're here to receive some good news, something life-giving and fulfilling, something that inspires us to go out and be that light. We are not here for fear and guilt trips and scare tactics or fire and brimstone. And if you are here, this is your chance to leave. We're here to receive the good news. We're here to receive the joy of our salvation. And there's another part to that. When we receive that, we also are called to share it. In our gospel lesson today in John 1, we heard Jesus tell those first disciples when they asked where he was staying, come and see. Come and see. That's when they decided to follow him. I was reading this week about a church whose whole mission statement is just, come and see, then go and tell. That's a good one. That's Jesus' mission. That's our mission. Come and see, then go and tell. That's evangelism. That's sharing good news. It's when we get the light and we take it out. Jesus preached often about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God has come near. What did he mean by that? I think he meant that God was like breaking into the world in a new way through him. And I read once that the kingdom of God is not just about us getting into heaven. The kingdom of God is about making things on earth as it is in heaven. Just like the Lord's Prayer that we say every single week in worship. See the difference? Our lives are not about just us. Neither is our faith. Maybe that's why some forms of evangelism give us a bad feeling, because they're very self-focused. They're very individualistic. But when Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him would have eternal life, he went on in John 3:17 to say, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God sent Jesus to save, not condemn. And God sent Jesus to save the world, not just a few of us. Hear the difference? When faith and evangelism becomes just all about us, that's actually contrary to the gospel, because our lives of faith are not just about us. We're about something more, something bigger than ourselves, which is what I think Andrew and Simon were looking for when they were following John the Baptist first, and they heard John say, look, here is the Lamb of God, about Jesus. I think that's why Jesus says to them, what are you looking for? And they say, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. Come and see. What if we're invited to do that in 2020? To come and see Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where's he staying right now? What is he doing? And how can we follow him? When I was reading this week in Isaiah about being called to be this light, I remembered one of my most favorite quotes by Presbyterian pastor Frederick Buechner. He gives this definition of how we find our purpose in life. Listen to this. He says, your vocation in life is where your greatest joy and the world's deepest need meet. Your greatest joy, the world's deepest needs meet. Isn't that amazing? That is how we find our purpose in life. That's our vocation, as some people call it. We find it by looking at our joy. What is that joy? It's our gifts, our talents, our blessings, the things that God has poured into our lives. And then we look at the needs of the world all around us, and we ask, how can these things come together? So I ask you, where is your joy? What are your gifts? What are you good at? Do you have the gift of serving behind the scenes? Do you know how to fix things? Can you teach me? Do you have the gift of kindness or optimism? Can you work with wood or fabric? Do you love teenagers? Do you love small children? Do you really get along with elderly people or shut-ins? Do you have the gift of mercy or compassion? In 1 Corinthians 1, 4-7, Paul says that each and every one of us have been equipped by God and given everything we need. He says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed. We don't lack anything. God has already given us gifts and talents, blessings and joy. The question is, can we see it and can we use it? And what about our gifts and joys as a church? What are those things that we're good at? What are those things that we love to do? And how are we called to use those gifts to meet a need in 2020? That's something we're going to look at throughout the whole month of February. Is where is God calling us next? What are we called to do? We've gone through different seasons of service here at this church. We clearly have many people with the gift of generosity because so far we've raised money for more than 5 clean water wells in Malawi, Africa, which is awesome. We also have this desire to feed the hungry. We saw that when we joined up with a Open Table Community Cafe over by the movie theater and helped for 3 years to feed people in this community. But we also saw it in combination with our love for teenagers and young people when the Youth Cafe came into this church. And there are more. There are more missions. We have so many people here who have helped at Mills Elementary, at Mills on Wheels, at Owosso Community Resources, and then there are people who just on their own reach out to visitors, make phone calls to shut-ins, show up to fix things here and at people's homes, who bring food to the sick and the grieving, who make visits to people who are in the hospital or hurting. We all have these abilities. And these special loves and these things that make our hearts sing and bring us joy. And when we use that joy to meet needs around us, it actually increases our joy. That's the bottom line of serving Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to do. When we do it, when we serve in Jesus' name, Jesus says we're actually serving Him. And we're bringing in the kingdom of God to make it on earth as it is in heaven. And that brings us life, meaning, and joy. Following Jesus, being a light of Christ in the world, it's not about adding to your to-do list. It's about just being and doing what you were made to be and do. And what we were made to be and do. Right now, in this time and place. Something that brings life to us and brings life to others. We know that Jesus was right. In Acts it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Haven't you experienced that? We see in the Gospels that when people reach out, they actually find healing from their own hurts. Ever had that experience? When something is hurting in your life, but you take a moment to reach out to someone else and suddenly you feel better? Ever experienced some kind of peace in your own life when you decided to turn your focus to someone else? Isn't this what happens so often at Christmas? We find ourselves down in the dumps and then we get that stocking and we start buying gifts for a kid in need and suddenly, there's a smile on our face and some happiness in our hearts. Isn't this what happens so often at church? You wake up on Sunday mornings and you think, I can't go today. I'm too tired. I'm hurting. I'm sad. And then you come to this place and you see other people who smile at you and people who need a smile, who need a hug. And suddenly there's this ray of light in your own heart. It is too small a thing for God to just restore us. We are also called to be a light. And that is not just good news, that is great news. Because real life is not just about us. It's about someone and something so much bigger, so much better. So when you ask yourself, what am I looking for in 2020? Ask yourself, whom are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for the light and life that He has in store for you this year? For our church this year? May we open our hearts and lives to that. And for that, all God's people say, Amen. Friends, please stand, and today we affirm our faith.